Secure 2.0, a deeper dive into more provisions when it comes to emergency savings. We're going to talk about that coming up on the show next.
From the streets of San Antonio, straight to your wallet, it's Jake's 2 cents on Jake of All Trades.
All right, welcome back. My name is Kirk, and I'm not a financial expert.
But I'm Jake. I am the financial expert. And together, Kirk and I talk about money, we talk about financial planning, and we talk about the economy, all with the express purpose of helping our listeners build wealth both today and into the future.
So today we're going to be talking about emergency savings and a new provision that has been passed in this Secure Act 2.0, which is, as we've mentioned in previous shows, the largest tax overhaul or retirement overhaul. Excuse me.
Reformed retirement. Yeah.
Reforms to retirement in the history of America. So we're digging into this step by step, especially as they're being implemented. So because things might change as they actually are implemented, but this is another one that we're reading some articles about how it's actually happening cool. right now. It's not like a proposed bill. It's like, let's be nice, because those proposed bills, often they're like, you know, like, we're going to pay all your college tuition. And then it turns out that it's like some very small, if you have these, 47 different qualifications, we'll give you a couple $100. It's like, okay. That's not what you told us. That's very different. This is not that. This is actually happening.
So the stuff we're going to talk about today doesn't technically take effect until next year, 2024. But it's good to know about this in advance because it's on the horizon and it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. So this is an emergency. So let me read this quote from Susie Orman that apparently led to the success of this. Lawmakers are listening to you, financial planners, apparently. And they're like, what do the financial planners say? Let's listen to them. Okay. So here's what Susie Orman says. She says, most people won't save money unless their employer somehow does it for them through a payroll deduction, which is probably true.
I think it is probably true.
That's true.
And I think the data shows that, like, most people in America don't have $1,000 in their savings account. So
I imagine that's true. She's definitely not wrong. So I don't have a problem with the fact that she's saying there. Right. That's obviously true. I mean, I was a perfect example of that for years. Myself, where I didn't do that. But I was, there was reasons for it. And maybe some of it comes to bite me in the butt later. But it's my butt. I get to do what I want with my butt. Like, what are you talking about, Susie? And no, I mean, Susie's correct. But to me, the issue is, so what is this act? What has now occurred in this retirement plan? Explain this to us. So her advice is good advice. You should take that advice.
Yes.
But then,
if you don't like the way that quote sits with you, then maybe you need to save yourself. Right.
Yeah. Well, you should. Yeah. But I mean, I've learned a lot from you. I think this is a good advice. I don't have any problem with the advice, but what is this Emergency Savings Act that has been passed by Congress, the people who have the power to withhold my, ability to buy a house if they want to, right? Like, this is the power. Like, they have power. They have real power. They have real force.
Yeah. So they're gonna take that force, and now they're gonna embolden employers to be able to create a savings account plan for employees without their automatically create it. So we talked about on the last Secure Act exploration episode where they have now 401k plans are going to be automatic enrollment. So it's like you have to opt out. They're going to apply that same thing if an employer wants to adopt this special savings provision to essentially create like a sidecar savings account next to your 401k that's accessible in your lifetime. And then they're going to withhold from your paycheck a portion of your pay and put it into that little side account. And it's just going to be cash, like a savings account.
Yeah.
And they can withhold up to a limit of $2,500.
But it's tax-free or taxed.
It's after tax.
After tax,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's essentially the same thing as what you would be doing if you told your HR department, hey, I want 90% of my paycheck to go into my checking account and I want 10% to go in my savings account.
Yeah.
It's just they're making that decision for
you. Which is what I do because of you.
Right. Yes.
I would not have done that. I'd be like, just give me the cash money, baby. Until Jake told me, no, put some of it away. All right. Put
something away. Yeah. So this is like giving the employer the power to make that decision for you in case you can't.
So what do you mean the power? So I don't have the problem with like this as a creation, you know, like you're saying, where you have an emergency savings makes sense. And that if you can do it automatically, I think that's a good thing. Cause then you don't even think about it. You start budgeting and naturally, you know, refining your life based on the 90% as though that's the 100, right? Yes. Like that's what automatically you do as a human with money. Yeah. Right.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with that, but what do you mean they're empowered, the like businesses? Like, is it, yeah, what do you mean?
Well, because they can now adopt this as one of their, I guess you could call it employee benefits, but they're going to include this if they decide to use it in the onboarding process when they hire a new employee, right? So they're going to bombard you with your health insurance stuff, your retirement plan stuff. And in all of that is going to be this special savings provision should they choose to add it. And so you potentially run the risk of overlooking that as a payroll deduction. And so you might be surprised when you get your first paycheck and you're like, why did you guys withhold $50 and put it in this special savings account? Like, when did I say I wanted to do that? Well, you didn't say you didn't want to do it. And we gave you all of your employee benefits stuff.
Okay. So it's really,
that's where the power comes into play.
So it's really just the, like we were saying with the other aspects of the Secure Act 2.0, that they're just, employers are now able to just automatically enroll you without your permission, but you can get out of it whenever you want. Yeah. Like it's not forcing it upon. I mean, like, it's not the end of the world, really. I'm kind of exaggerating earlier, but I still don't like that part. Like, I just think we should have, I guess, like, as long as they tell us, like, you know, HR has some kind of law, and I don't like that, but whatever. If they have something where they, like, look, you're enrolled in this, just so you know. And then, you know, you have this option. If you checkmark this, we'll unenroll you. If they do that, then I'm like, all right, it's just another one of the crazy HR stuff they have to do. Right. That's among a lot of stuff. It's really not that, you know, it's not that big a deal.
Right.
Although I rarely, I tune out when HR talks. I don't know. I lose focus. I'm like, oh, look at the flowers over here. I just can't do it.
Overwhelming.
What are you talking about? Savings?
So I wonder, this is my only sort of knock against this, is that this is conveniently coinciding obviously with a federal government that runs a deficit every year, needs to increase their spending limit every year.
Yeah.
And so if you think about like where the $2,500 is going, right? It's probably not going to your specific bank. So if you bank with Bank of America, they're not going to create a savings account at Bank of America for you.
Oh yeah.
So the automatic enrollment feature with the collection of a very small amount, $2,500, but $2,500 across all
50 million people. Yeah. Is what they're
looking
at.
A lot of money. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this has got to be some type of, it's already being enacted by the government. So they've got to have like a federal banking program where this money's going. And so that's kind of the thing that I'm like, well, is this really to benefit us consumers, the people that are having trouble saving, or is it to get extra liquidity from the consumers that we can use to pay for other things?
Yeah, I think that's something we would need to investigate. That's a really interesting, because I know with other programs that we put money into with the government, it's the same thing. Like when you see you're paying your Social Security, that isn't going into some vault that you then are able to draw from at the end of your life. That is going to the government. And then they're spending all that money. And then, you know, when you're 65, you're, you know, basically able to pull it out. But what you're pulling out from is, one, the debt the government is putting on in general, and mm-hmm. the current working class. So basically, yeah, it's a massive Ponzi scheme. Is social? It really is. I mean, I don't know how else to call it. Even if I'm trying to be favorable, it's like, you know, there's something like I think the average person pulling out Social Security and especially something like Medicare, right? Mm-hmm. Over 65 year old, they're pulling out like 10 times what they put in minimum. Mm-hmm. Like a person over 65 who's starting to use Medicare or Medicare.
Medicare.
They are pulling out 10 times what they put in their lifetime. That's how much they're spending. It's if not like 20 or 30x, like it's massive. The healthcare expenses what that means that the working class today is trying to pay off that with the hopes that the working class in our 60s are going to pay off for us, which means we'd have to have a massive working class, right? Like, which right. I don't know if that's going to happen.
We know. Yeah.
It doesn't look like it because none of us are having kids.
So yeah.
No, go have some kids. Like we have two single guys with no kids here. And like, so,
so it's possible. We're not single guys, but they are now getting creative with ways to pull in additional after-tax resources.
That's possible. Yeah.
Right? Because if you think about a lot of the other provisions in the Secure Act 2.0, a lot of them have an emphasis on paying taxes now. So like we've talked about like the enhancement of Roth benefits on the 401k plan and how like they've added more to the Roth contribution limit. They've added an ability for your employer to match your contributions with Roth instead of pre-tax. So that means that the IRS is collecting all that tax revenue in advance when previously the system was more of a pre-tax system where you get a tax deduction and you're delaying the payment of taxes until later. So from purely observation, because we're just speculating here, we don't know, and I don't know. I'm just putting things together like they've dramatically increased current tax revenue with a lot of the provisions that are in the Secure Act 2.0.
Yeah.
Which sort of correlates well with a growing deficit that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. And I think it's a good thing. I want to now research what does the government, like what account does this go into? Because I imagine there has to be something where they're trying to grow the money a little bit. Like if it's just going to pay off the debt, that's maybe it is though. Maybe it's just going to pay off the national debt and, the government debt. And then we, you know, they'll just say that they're backing it by the quote unquote US government. So you can pull it out of your account whenever you want. But is that going into like US bonds or something? Is that what they're putting it into?
That's what I'm not sure about.
I would imagine something like that, but like this is why I don't like it is, you know, I would opt out because that 2,500 I'd rather put into a mutual fund, right? Like where I have a much higher chance of growing that long term than this 20. And I understand that there's consequences to that in terms of if I don't have a savings account with $2,500 in it, because that's what this is all about, right? You know, my car breaks down and I need, you know, $1,500 to fix the, you know, transmission or something like that. Okay. So you need to have an emergency fund for sure. And a mutual fund has downsides because then you have to sell those stocks in order to get that cash, right? And that means you may not have what you need and you may lose money. Like if I resisted because I'm buying a house, taking out any money from the account that I opened with you, because unfortunately when I did it, the stocks did go down and that's true of everybody, right?
Right.
If you take out stocks now and you just put in a bunch of money, you know, 6 months ago, you're going to probably take a little bit of a loss.
Right.
And so that means my $1,500 transmission now is like a $2,200 transmission because I was costing. It's like, okay.
Yeah. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah. So having cash is really good, obviously. And now the other thing is like, if it's in just a generic savings account, it does have some kind of interest that you're getting on it.
Right.
That's better than nothing.
Correct. And it's unclear if this program that we're talking about has any interest accumulation.
Yeah.
So I think the intentions are good. Don't get me wrong. I just am curious about where is this going exactly? You know? So,
I know what they're trying to do. Like it says here, when you have dedicated emergency funds or when you don't have dedicated emergency funds, individuals turn to their retirement accounts when they face a cash shortfall, which is what they're trying to prevent, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to make sure we don't raiding retirement. That's what they're calling it. Like, don't raid your retirement. And they say that, like, the most cited reasons people raid their retirement, 52% of the reasons people give is covering expenses. 26% of the reasons why people raid their retirement is job loss. And 15% is stock market concern. So this is our big brother government trying to manipulate us into doing the right thing, quote unquote, you know, from our overseers and telling us what to, you know, telling us how to have, you need to have 2,500 so you don't have to go into, which again, I think is true. Yeah. I mean, I think you should have like, what you taught me was like 3 months expenses covered. Right. Is in savings. Right. So like,
that's kind of the rule of thumb. Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Cash savings.
Cash.
Fund cash savings. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, I think that's true. That makes sense to me. I don't have that right now, but, you know, but I'm also in the process of buying a house. So hopefully a little different.
That's using some liquidity. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And I think that's a good goal that I'll have. And I would probably opt out of this one actually, personally. Because I'd rather just put it into my savings, try to get to that 6,000 and deal with it that way.
Right.
It's actually going to be more than 6,000. Like,
yeah. I mean, this is capped at $2,500. So, yeah.
Well, you can obviously have savings on top of this, is what they're saying.
You can. Yeah. But I mean, if you feel like, no, I'm disciplined enough to do this myself, it's as simple as like what Kirk and I both do. We have our HR department. Put 90% of our paycheck in our checking and then their balance into a savings. It's the same thing, only we have full control over that allocation and where it's going and what our access to it is. And there's no limit.
Yeah. But I could see like when I was starting out that this would have been a very beneficial thing to have in terms of opting into it as an option, right? Sure. So like if my HR department was like, hey, if you want, we could take this out. This 20, you know, 30, 40, 50 bucks or whatever a month, that'll go into this special account that you'll have access to at any time, but you're not touching it along the way. So you're building an emergency. So if it was pitched to me like that, I'd be like, all right, let me see what I, if, and I can opt out of it later. And then, it's so, okay. So let's try it. And then that way I would have that without even knowing that I had it. And then that would be, have been beneficial. So I'm not, you know, again, I don't think that it's a bad thing because a lot of people aren't saving.
You know, right.
Especially in their youth.
Yeah. So the last thing is on this emergency provisions, the second piece of this is they're going to add a provision in retirement plans. So if you are putting money into your 401k, something does come up that you need up to $1,000. Previously, if you had to take that out of your retirement account, you were going to pay taxes and an early distribution penalty. Well, they're going to create a provision where you can take out $1,000 and then you have up to 3 years to put it back. And if you put it back within the 3 year period, you avoid the taxes. There is no penalty and you can do it again later. So it just adds a little more flexibility, small change, obviously, but $1,000 will get you like 4 new tires. So, you know, it just depends on what the severity of the emergency is, but I think that's a good one too, just to have kind of on the, just as one little scapegoat for people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know. We'll see how it actually implements.
Yeah. I think the intentions are all good.
Well, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions, my friend. I'm weary of good intentions. I mean, just imagine people with good intentions on your life. Think about your life and your, oh, we're doing this for your own benefit. We're doing this for you, Jake. This is what you need to live a better life. I mean, just imagine where that can go. And, you know, I just personally get icky with it. I think companies should offer this on their own and maybe some can. Or like financial planners like yourself create programs, persuade people to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's up to them. That's what we should do. So like, I guess my last thing, just so I'm 100% clear. So the government is empowering, but they're not demanding that companies do this. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's what it's saying.
Correct. This emergency savings provision is not going to be required.
So that I like that.
Yes.
I appreciate that part of it.
Yeah. That's the difference between this and the automatic enrollment into the 401ks, because that is going to be a requirement of companies that start a new 401k.
So yes,
that's the difference.
So like, and they're saying in this article, the idea by lawmakers is that they hope large employers are going to lead the way on adoption to this. So when you have the FANG companies, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, when you have GM and, you know, massive companies adopting this, then you'll have the smaller ones doing it as part of, like, this is just how they stay competitive to get employees to stay with them, as they're going to, you'll be enrolled in this and you'll get after tax benefits or whatever to have this cash emergency or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
It'll just be a standard thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not quite the end of the world.
No. And also, these things don't go into effect until 2024.
Oh, so we have a whole year of freedom.
We have a whole year of freedom before they're going to take $50 from your paycheck.
So go crazy. Spend your $2,500 emergency now before it goes away. Go buy a new TV and a couch. Or go
but
on
also
vacation.
Have that in savings, because you never know when.
I'm saying, like, go waste it. Go crazy, because it's your life. Go to Vegas with your emergency savings, baby. All on 7, baby. I got it. 7.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, don't take Kirk's advice on that last one.
Don't do that. That was a joke, everybody.
Yes.
Save 6 months. Of expenses. Yeah, no, do that.
Boring, I know. You don't see your money grow, but you're going to love that you have it there when you need it.
Well, you should invest on top of that.
Absolutely. That's,
you should have your savings and you should have your investments and you know. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And then go to Vegas. Guys, well... Just kidding. I'm only kidding. Okay, go. Goodbye.
That wraps up this episode of Jake of All Trades. Be sure to check us out on social media by searching for @Jake's2Cents and check out the blog at jakes2cents.com. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Fixed insurance products and services offered through CES Insurance Agency. Actual performance and results will vary. These interviews do not constitute a recommendation as to the suitability of any investment for any person or persons having circumstances similar to those portrayed. Consult a financial advisor regarding your specific circumstances.